So, our Father, we do indeed ask that today and all our lives long, your word might indeed do its work in our hearts and souls and minds and transform us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. Now, you may know that the bishop is very keen on having years of, diocesan years of. So, does anyone have the faintest idea what last year was? Oh, John's lost it. Well done. Good. I thought we might have to cut that bit out of the video. The year of the Old Testament. Well done. So, does anyone have any idea what this year could possibly be? If last year was the year of the Old Testament, the New Testament! Well done! Now, you've probably got some Bibles around in your pews. You're welcome to have a look at those if you want to. You can see. They've got a very helpful thing called a content page, which you are allowed to use without fame. And if you look at that, you can see the books. It's near the front. You can see the books of the Old and New Testament. Now, the Bible is, in a way, one book, but it's also a collection of books, a library. Probably some boffins even know how many books we have in our Bible. 66, well done. So how many in the Old Testament? 39, well done. And then it's a simple sum, New Testament? 27, well done, you're on fire. So, what books have we got in the New Testament? What does it kick off with? Either you know this, or you can use the content page and see. That's certainly one of them. Yeah, there's another one before it, isn't there? Matthew, well done. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four Gospels. That's right. Gospel means good news. They're the accounts of Jesus' life, and they're a bit like this sort of book. You're welcome to move if you'd like to come somewhere where you can see better. Apart from being slightly dusty, can anybody tell me what sort of book this is? It is a biography. This is a biography of Churchill by Roy Jenkins. So the Gospels are kind of biographies, accounts of Jesus' life. Not exactly like a modern historical biography, much shorter for one thing. Don't try and tell us everything about Jesus' life, but they're written with a purpose, which we might say something a bit more about later. So we've got the four Gospels, and then what? The Acts of the Apostles. And what sort of book do you think that is a bit like? A history book, well done, it's a history of the early church. Luke would probably say it's the second part of his gospel, so we can quibble about that over coffee if you like. So, gospels, biographies, a sort of history of the early church. And then, what do we have next in the Bible? Letters, well done. Lots of letters to different churches by Paul and others, so Romans, 1 Corinthians, all those, yeah. Some of them entitled after who they're to, and some of them entitled after who they're by, so you've got to keep your wits about you. And then, last but not least, there's a very exciting book at the end, which is the Book of the Revelation, yeah, not Revelations, but the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So that means revealing, unveiling. Sometimes we call it an apocalyptic book. What on earth book is that like? Now, I wrestled over this one, but I brought an art book with me because it's a kind of vision. You might say it gives us pictures, behind-the-scenes glimpses of the universe. Well, that's the New Testament, and I'm going to try and say something today about the nature and purpose of the New Testament, what it is and what it's for. And we're going to have two readings. Now, I chose this first reading, I think Lucy's going to read it for us. It tells us a bit about the Bible and how it came to be. Good luck. I also like this one because it emphasises that Peter was an eyewitness of the things that he saw. So, Lucy's going to come and read it for us now, I think. Thank you, Lucy.
I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the faith you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we do not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were there with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that many prophecies of Scripture came about the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, this line for us.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God, and thank you to you, Lucy. Well done. Brilliant. What I'd like you to think about as we read this is two little sections. What kind of book does Luke think he's trying to write? How does he present his book to us? What sort of book? Thank you.
Many have undertaken among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And the beginning of chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went into his own town to register. So, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to God, and thank you to you, Rob. So, what kind of book do you think Luke thinks he's writing? How does he... A holy book, maybe, yes. I think that's probably right. Certainly an orderly account, yes. There were some clues earlier. Yes, Edward. Certainly, it's absolutely true. That's included, isn't it? It's going to be about Jesus' life. But, a history book. That's, well done for reading my mind, Judith. So, I think Luke presents his book as like a biography, an account of someone's life, or like a history, doesn't he? I've got another book here, Jack and the Beanstalk, a book of nursery stories. You know these stories. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away. That's very unlike the Gospels, isn't it? The Gospels seem to be writing about history, about particular people and places, about a great event in history, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now just think about Buddhism for a moment. I can't think about Buddhism for very long, because I don't know very much about it. But I think it would make next to no difference if the Buddha never existed. What's the important thing about Buddhism? Well, it's the teaching of the Buddha. You know, if we really understand that teaching, we're told, we too can become enlightened. Now, Jesus' teaching was very important, but it's very different about Jesus, isn't it? Christians would say it really, really matters that Jesus was born and died and rose again. Christians are talking about events in history. That's their claim, in a way that some other religions aren't necessarily. And although this probably should be a series of lectures, I guess I'm just going to try and say something quickly about why we can trust the gospel. Now, yes, I've got to be very careful what I say here, because I don't want to get it in the papers. So, some people think that Christianity is like a fairy story, made up. But that is not what the Bible is claiming, and that is like so unlikely, so vanishingly unlikely. It's like believing that, say, Napoleon didn't exist. Is that level of silly? There are a number of Old Testament and a number of non-Christian sources that tell us about Jesus, from old dead people called Tacitus, Pliny the Younger, and Josephus. And I've become a real fanboy of this person in the last couple of weeks. Peter William, who's at Tyndale House in Cambridge, I really encourage you to Google Peter J. Williams, Can We Trust the Gospel? Another really excellent short book. I think you can get it on Audible, if you prefer that. Or there are all sorts of lectures and interviews all over YouTube. Peter Williams on the Gospels. Really, really excellent. And he tells us what we can know about Jesus from non-Christian sources. They confirm some of the basic facts from the New Testament, such as Christ's death under Pontius Pilate in Judea around AD 26 and AD 36, that Christ was worshipped as God early on, that Christ's followers experienced persecution, that Christians spread far and fast, and that some of the early leaders would have known about Christ's family origins. So we can be really certain from non-Christian sources that Jesus existed. It's not surprising that most of the people who write about Jesus are Christians. They write about him because they think he's important. They think that what he said and did was true. Just like today, most of the people who write about football are going to be football fans, aren't they? Doesn't make them unreliable, necessarily. Now, who do you think was the most famous person around at the time of Jesus? Yeah, Caesar or Augustus. Actually, when Jesus died, Tiberius was the emperor from AD 14 until 36. And it just so happens that we've also got four biographies of Tiberius. Striking coincidence. And the Christian biographies of Jesus are just as good, actually way, way better, but just as good as the biographies about Tiberius. We can be really confident about what the Gospels say. Williams goes into this. The Gospel writers really knew their stuff, and they get things right. For example, they get the geography and roads and travel right. He did a really juicy thing. He made a list of all the places that get mentioned in the Gospels, and then he looked in all the other ancient sources to see if any of them, or any set of them, mentioned all those places. And lots of them are included and confirmed, but some of them aren't. What do we conclude? Well, Luke didn't just cleverly write his Gospel in a well-equipped library. He seems to have known the Israel of Jesus' time, or at least he knew people who knew the place. It obviously depends on good eyewitness evidence. And there are lots of other things like that. The Gospels get names right, or at least the names they use are plausible. The Gospel writers seem to know about the Judaism of Israel at Jesus' time. They know the different local languages and customs. They even get the plants and flowers right. They know about fishing and the weather and the tax system. If they've made this up, they've done a really, really brilliant job. And there's surprising agreement amongst the Gospels, but without signs of collusion. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those TV sort of docudrama things, goes into how some coppers have fitted someone up. They often don't do very brilliantly at it, do they? They all get their notebooks and they all write down the precise form of words that they're all going to stick to. Well, the Gospels aren't like that. They don't read as accounts that are cooked up together. They're independent, complementary accounts. So much that what the Gospels say fits together and makes sense. And we have to ask, who would make these things up? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they didn't make their millions from publishing their Gospels. They didn't have podcasts to promote or, merchandising deals or whatever. In fact, they probably experienced severe persecution for being attached to the Christian faith. And the manuscripts and copies that we have of the New Testament are amazingly well preserved. Again, I've got a really juicy fact I can tell you about that over coffee, if you like, but I think I'll spare you now. We can be really, really confident that what we have is very, very close to what the Gospel writers wrote. And in fact, I brought a Greek New Testament with me you can have a look at, if you like. This is a modern edition, and you can see the Greek text here. Do you want to see some Greek? What could be more fun than that? And you see at the bottom, there are one or two tiny notes. There are two short passages from the New Testament that are in Dag, and otherwise, there's sort of tiny letters and the odd word. We can be really confident that we've got very, very close to what the Gospel writers actually wrote. Well, all that, of course, doesn't prove that the Gospels are true, but it would be a really simple and beautiful explanation if they are. You can't really prove anything, can you? It's possible that we are all part of your dream, Annabelle, or that, Edward, you are currently connected up with sort of electrodes to your head, living in some kind of chemical suit attached to a matrix. Maybe, but it seems unlikely. Probably much more plausible that the Gospels are true. Here is a Gospel. Here's Mark's Gospel. You can see it's really pitchy. I wonder how many of us have read a Gospel all the way through. Have you ever done that as an adult? How much of our knowledge of Christianity really depends on Sunday school and a few half-remembered assemblies? It'd be a great, great thing to read one of the Gospels through. Johnson is waving an alternative Gospel at me from the back. Maybe you want to read a Gospel through with a Christian friend. That could be a really helpful thing to do. Ask yourself what you make of Jesus. Who was he? Why did he come? What would it mean to follow him? What about his life, teaching, miracles, and resurrection? I think it's really convincing that Jesus is who he said he was, that he's the Lord, the Saviour, that he's God come in the flesh. And Jesus believes his Old Testament. He authorised the Gospel writers and others to write the New Testament. And he said this, that the whole purpose of the Bible was not just that we should, study it and find out about geography and fishing and tax systems and flowers and things, but that we should meet Jesus, that we should come to him and believe in him and have life in his name. Jesus is both the author and subject of the Bible, and we can meet him there. There's much, much more that we could say, but that's probably more than enough for an all-age service for now, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Andy. I was hoping the coordinator would cry out more at some more. But for now, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, and above all for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the truth of your word, that we can depend on it, that we can meet Jesus there,
and that he gives us life. Amen.